God se woord wil ek sluit so mooi by Lien se getuienis aan. Wil ek net op laas week waaroor ons gepraat het laas week ietsie bybou en miskien 'n bietjie duidelikheid bring. So so ek miskien net ietsie sê oor laas week. So laas week het ons in Johannes 17 begin en ag net miskien vier gedagtes waaroor ons gepraat het is dat Jesus sê ek is hier om die Vader te verheerlik deur die werk wat hy my gegee het klaar te maak. En as Jesus I think we're supposed to be in English, sorry, my notes is in English, mom. So God has called us and saved us to glorify him and to do the work of the Father. That is what God has called us to. And we've shared something about fear will always come between you and what God has called you to do. There will always come fear. And then just we spend some time to look at the word and how do we deal with fear? Because all of us can relate with fear. There's no one that cannot relate with fear. So the first thing that we shared with one another is that Jesus set an example that when we have fear, we share it with people and with God. We are transparent about our fears. We do not hide it. We do not walk alone with it. We do not isolate ourselves, but we share it. And that is with people close to you and with God. And then we went to Matthew 25. And I want to come back to Matthew 25 this morning, and we said something about the talents that God entrusted to each one of you and with me. To every person, God has entrusted things to steward well. And to steward what God has entrusted to you has risk in it. And when we experience risk, we fear. And we become self-reliant. And we want to box everything down so that we can control it. But the servant that received one talent did exactly that. And he came with fear and trembling to the Lord. The rest who walked the road of risk, dependency upon God, and stewarded what was entrusted, they were welcomed with joy. So if we choose control, self-reliance, and security, the result and the fruit of it is fear. But when we walk in obedience to God, which always entails risk for the flesh, always, and it has always fear to it. But when we choose to walk there, the result is joy. And we've stood still just a short while with all of us has a desire for excitement in life. But what we are looking for it in wrong places. And we encourage one another that we should ask God, it is that road with him, uncertain. What was the word that Marga shared? Uncharted, did he? Uncharted. The road with God is always uncharted. It's never clear. It's never 100% known, set out, and it's never safe. But that is where God calls us, and the excitement we long for in each one of us is to walk in obedience there and see God at work. That is the excitement we are longing for. That's what we are created for and why we have the Spirit of God. So in this past week, I had a few conversations, and I thought maybe we should just share something on Matthew 25, and what does it mean to steward something? And how do we do it? So I just want to share something on that because God wants all of us to have in 2023 joy. And joy comes when we walk in obedience where God leads us. And God wants to lead us out of anxiety. and free us from that anxiety. When we are in anxiety, we cannot worship like Karen said. When we are in anxiety, we cannot, and fear, we cannot love like Lynn has just described, or let go like Farida has described in a testimony, to let go. It's uncertain what's going to happen with my son. But there's faith and trust in it, in God. So it's uncertainty is part of the part walking with God. So just back to Matthew 25, 14 to 30. We're not going to read it tonight. Today we've read some of it last week. So there's words coming up. I just want to repeat some of it. It's things were entrusted to the servants, and it said they went to work. What did the one do that he also went to work for a short while digging a hole and burying it in the soil? But then he stopped working, and he waited. So they went to work because the owner of what was entrusted to me is coming back and is asking for an account of what I did with what was entrusted. So this is life. This is for each one of us. Things are entrusted to us. And there will be a day that we give an account of how we used what was entrusted to us. I think a challenge for me is to realize that whatever I have is not mine. If I have a skill, if I have a gift, if I have a passion, if I own something physical, if I have a relationship, if I have time, none of it is my own. It's God's who He gave to me. And I'm going to give an account on that. So maybe each one of us should go this evening or this coming week, take a pen and paper and write down, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is entrusted to you. To Lynn, I don't know how many kids a year is entrusted to you, Lynn. 80 kids is entrusted to Lynn in a year. But these are the only things that is entrusted to her. But so go and sit down and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is entrusted to you. What are those things? And make a list of it. So something that I find in my conversations is that what is the difference between the faith the Bible is talking about? And I think many people who doesn't know biblical faith see biblical faith as blind faith. And the thing that I hope that we take home today is that God is not calling us to blind faith. So wat is blinde geloof? Blinde geloof, as ek het in my eie woorde moet beskryf, is om 'n verwagting vir iets te hê en te hoop het werk so uit. That's blind faith. So, but that's not what God has called anyone who follows Him to. Can we agree on that? And I want to look at examples of what is the difference between that perception. Okay, so if I'm not allowed to bury things, then I'm just going to go to work and hope things work out well and I can multiply what God has entrusted to me. That's blind faith. God hasn't called any of us to blind faith. So what is the type of faith that God has called us to? And I just want to go through a few examples, and we'll come back to the word and read from it in John. And the first one that I want us to look at is Abram. And you can find and go and read Abram's story from Genesis 12. To Genesis 22, I think it carries on, but go and read the story again. So Abram is a wealthy man. He's got a lot of stuff, and he's living, and God is calling him out of where he's living, and he tells him, "I want you to move. Ek wil hê jy moet trek." And if you read Abram's story, the moment God called him and asked him to move, Abram didn't know what was coming. I think if he knew what was coming, he would not have moved. But what I want you to see, and each one of us to see, and the reason why we're talking about this, because this is how we steward what was entrusted to us. Not having blind faith, but hearing God speaking to you about what he has entrusted to you, and then obeying him. And that's not blind faith. That's faith. It's not certain, but it's faith that God is calling me to this. That's why I'm doing it. I'm moving because I've heard God. I'm acting because I've heard God. And that's not blind faith. And what we should see from Abram's story is that he had no idea what was coming. So Abram, if you're going to read the story, what was coming to him was war, famine on his journey. He had to split with his best friend. They divided. There was risi tussen die twee. What else happened to Abram? He had to sacrifice his son. All of these things happened. Did God tell him this is going to happen to you when he called him? No, none of it. He just said to him, I want you to move. And Abram said, we spoke about this word the other day, hinene. Hinene means I'm in, doesn't matter what comes. So stewarding what you have is hearing God and acting upon what God is saying without seeing the full picture, without seeing what's coming. And I think most of us got a testimony about that. I'm just looking at Ben and Tani Ems when God said to them, sell the farm, pack up, I want to send you to the jails, to all the prisons. I want you to go and work there. Did they know what this is going to entail? Had no idea. They will tell you. But they walked in faith, not blind faith. Trusting faith in a God who spoke. And if we entrust, if we steward things, we steward it according to the leading of God. Not just hoping it will work out. Oh, there's so many stories that we can talk about. And if we look at Abram, God spoke to him through different ways. We can add Joseph to it. Joseph had this dream as a young boy that his brothers will bow down before him one day. And they nearly stoned him for it. But, you know, then we know the story. He ended up as a slave in Egypt. He had to resist a woman. He ended up in jail for his good choices. He ended up in the jail because he didn't sleep with a woman. That's why he ended in a jail. But did he know when God gave him a dream, this is going to be the road? Didn't know that. And we know the story about Joseph, how God gave him dreams and practical wisdom to be applied in this world to save a nation and many other nations from hunger and from famine. So this is the way we hear God, in practical things as well. We know what to do when things go wrong. And God shows us way before that how to deal with it. So Joseph doesn't end up with blind faith, hoping that the story that he's telling Pharaoh is true. He knows it's true. God has shown him. That's why he's telling it. So it's not blind faith that we are stewarding. We are stewarding according to what God tells us. I'm just thinking about Paul. I just want to quickly something in Paul's letters, if you want to read that, is in Acts 16, how Paul was led by the Spirit of God. Acts 16. So verse 6, we hear, sorry, I just want to find the English. In verse 6, it says, next Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. So Paul didn't steward his opportunities through blindness. but through seeing. Knowing what God wants. Knowing what the Spirit leads. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. I think in verse 9 and 11, we see, that night Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia. Paul didn't travel blindly into the unsaved world. Where should I go? He knew because he heard God. And the question for me and you is, do we have an expectation getting up for the week, starting the year, getting up for the day, that we can experience this type of leading from God, that we will steward well what we have? Just not going through motions and hope it will work out well and this is what God wants. But no, hearing him specifically. We boarded, verse 11, we boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across the island of Samothrace. And the next day, we landed in Neapolis. And that's the way Paul was led by the Spirit of God. Abram heard God's voice. Joseph heard the Lord through dreams. And it was upon this leading that they acted and brought the kingdom about. And then back to Jesus, who is the best example. And we know that Jesus says, I'm only doing what the Father says. And sure, how does that fit to me in your life? And I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. John, and I don't want to share this word this morning to make us feel like, let me just pull the face. No, I want us to see that the excitement that Paul, Joseph, Abram must have experienced journeying with God in this way. Because this is what we hunger and thirst for, is to see God at work as we obey him, but obeying his leading day by day, moment by moment. In that moments where Lynn has testified from, Lynn, this is what you have to do. Lynn does it, and she sees and can testify of the change that God brings around her. John 10, verse 37. Sure, this verse just challenged me. It says, don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. 10 verse 17, Jesus is speaking as well. He says, the Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up. For this is what my Father has commanded. So, just to bring it back to what we steward and what is entrusted to you. There's no way we can steward what we have well unless we are following God's guidance. And I hope we can agree on that. There's no way that we can steward it well. We need to hear God, seek his face, and obey that. Me and Anton, I think it was Friday, we had a conversation about the joy and the peace that we are searching and longing for. And we were talking about different situations. And as I prepared for this morning, I realized whether we are talking about Abram, Joseph, Paul, Jesus, many other examples we can talk about, there's one thing that is in common amongst them all. If we are following after Jesus and we want to experience that excitement and joy that he has called us to, there's only one way, and that is by giving up everything. And I think we are struggling many times between the two worlds of giving up everything and keeping control, back to what we've spoken about last week. Having control and giving over, but following God in obedience. And all of them had to leave everything. Abram, where he was coming from, Joseph, his family. Paul had to leave his whole culture, Jewish culture. Everyone he knew, he had to leave them. Jesus had to leave heaven for his mission, coming down to earth. And maybe it's something that me and you should ask God, Lord, what is it that you want me to leave behind? What is it that you want me to leave behind? I think Jesus' message was clear. Unless we are able and willing to leave behind, we cannot follow him. We cannot follow him in the way Abraham, Joseph, and Paul and Jesus follow the Father. We can only do it. And many times that takes sacrifice. Whether it is asking Benny and Lynn for Saturday, or whether it's asking something else. Sometimes it's small. Sometimes you move to Somaliland, the couple that me and Miranda had the privilege of spending time with last week. It's different for everyone. But Jesus' example tells us, if we want to experience the joy the Father has intended and planned for us, it will take a sacrifice from me and you. And are we willing to leave that sacrifice and put that, or to give that sacrifice and to leave behind what God is showing us? I think something else that in my preparation that was also clear for me in everyone that saw God at work, after sacrificing, they had to face, and I'm going to explain now, but they had to face hell. If we are not willing to face hell, we will not see God at work, because that is where God is working. And everything that we see that is not from God is just a picture of hell. What Lynn is seeing in these young children coming there, it's hell that they are dealing with. Where they are going in December, it's hell that she's facing. And unless we face that form of hell, we will not see God at work and experience the joy that we are looking for. He is calling us out of comfort first to sacrifice, but then to the battle. Unless we enter the battle where hell operates, we won't see God at work. And I want to close by saying, so I want to encourage us not to try and steward and not to try and find joy by blind faith. And by blind faith, I mean just doing and hoping. That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is hearing God and acting upon it. That's biblical faith. And God can speak to us, obviously, in many, many ways. We're not going to go there this morning, but he can speak to you through the Word, through other believers, through the Holy Spirit, through dreams and visions. There's many ways that God speaks to us. But do we have an excitement to hear him? And I want to encourage you to do that. That is where God will, and it will entail sacrifice, and it will entail encountering hell. It will entail encountering what is not from God, if we don't like the word hell. But that is what we will have to face. And it is there where we will see God at work and found true joy and meaning to our lives. So in summary, joy instead of anxiety. And that joy comes when we see God at work. We see God at work when we seek him and obey him. That's where we see God at work. And it's most of the time entails sacrifice and entering a battle where heaven and hell stands against one another. And that's where God wants to use us. And it's so beautiful, the description you used, Lynn, because many times, and that's back to John 17, Jesus says, I pray that you won't take them out of this world, but that you will protect them in this world. So many times I remember, what was the guy's name, Anton, at the convergence that spoke, Denzel, kan jy sy naam onthou, uit Amerika, wat oor die vuilstroom gepraat het, maar ons, Rick Russo, we tend to build our own safe spaces and spend our time there. our own swimming pool in our backyard. But God wants us to swim there in the river where it's dirty, where it's dangerous, where it's ugly. That's where he wants to use us. And I think that's what we are hoping to. And Lynn, can I ask you and beg you and Benny to come on that? Is it 1st of March? Sharing Jesus as a lifestyle, to come and help us. Because that's on God's heart. That what you have testified this morning to the laborers will multiply by 100-fold. If God can help us to move more frequently and freely in what you have testified of this morning. So just, we are just desiring to journey together. Marina says, course, it's actually not a course, we haven't got one. But we me and Brett and Marina, as we prayed together as the beginning of the year, from the beginning of the year, we felt that God just wants us to just freely, as we want to flow freely in worship, as Karen testified this morning, flow freely in life. And just where we flow in that dirty river, because we are there every day, every day. How can we hear God? How can we encourage one another? How can we say, okay, guys, we've talked about this now here where it's safe. Let's go out next Saturday morning, journey together, and just trust God to help us how to share him, how to do it, how to flow in it. And that's our heart from sharing Jesus as a lifestyle. How can we help one another to do that? So may God, there's so many questions we can ask. But my heart this morning, and I feel God, on God's heart, is don't go for blind faith. Seek him and obey him. Seek him and obey him. And it may be in the simplest forms. Seek him and obey him. Maybe it's God speaks to us in different seasons, sometimes big things and small things. To him, all is big. To him, everything is important. And may God help us just with that daily, every moment when we encounter people. Lord, speak to me. Help me. Lord, if I go to bed tonight, I ask the Lord in the evening, Lord, I wanna dream something that is meaningful for your kingdom tonight. Please speak to me in my dreams tonight, Lord. So in every way, ask the Lord that there will be leading from him on how to steward. Go and make a list of what you have to steward. All of us has relationships that we can steward. Lord, help me. I want to steward this relationship. I want to steward my time well. I want to steward my positions well. I want to steward my skill and my passion and my gifts. I want to steward it well. Pray about it. Share about it. Ask the Lord to lead you in it. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we are thankful this morning that your word teaches to us that you are excited about us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are glad when you see us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that this morning we desire, Lord, to see you at work. To see where your kingdom come, Lord. To see how someone that is bound by tradition and African religion becomes free from it and resist it, Lord. And thank you, Father, that you don't need us to be perfect and free from everything ourselves before you send us and before you work through us. Thank you, Lord, that you can work through all of us. And Father, I pray that that you will help us to seek your face and to hear you in a way, Father, that will create faith in us. That we would walk in faith, Lord. Not try and hope things work out, but that we would hear you I pray that for each one of us, Lord. Help us. Maybe we sit here this morning, Father, and we think, I don't really have things to steward. But Lord, there's so many. I know that all of us have so many to steward. And I pray for each one that you would come and help us to see everything that you have entrusted to us. Help us to seek your face, Lord. Help us to hear you. And Lord, then when we hear you, I know, Father, fear will come. I pray to you that you will help us. Let us share our fears with one another. Let us not go into control mode, Lord, but let us steward and go to work with what you have given us. I pray for that liberty and freedom, Father, not only where we are together, but as we are swimming in the stream that needs us, and not us, Lord, they need you. And the stream needs to be cleaned by you. I pray that we would be willing to sacrifice and to face the gates of hell at that place where you are calling us and that you want to use us. I pray, Lord, that we would walk in it with joy. Give us the joy that is from you. It's only the you, Father, that can sustain us in this joy, and I want to pray that for everyone this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.